In him, let's worship him, let us exalt him. He made it possible for us to see the Easter of 2017. Let us just magnify his holy name. Him alone is worthy. Him alone is worthy. Him alone is worthy. The wish of the enemy, of the evil one, is that we should be in the mortuary, but we are in the sanctuary, praising the Lord. He wants us to have, to be in a situation where we are just hoping, I wish somebody, this man can survive. Oh, I wish this woman can survive. But the Lord sustained us. So let's give him praise. Let's magnify him. Exalt him. Lift him high. Him alone is worthy. Exalt him. Thank him from the bottom of your heart. Thank him. Exalt him. Lift up his name. Oh, we give you thanks. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you adoration. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Ancient of Days, we thank you. The Lord of Lords, we thank you. The Great I Am, we thank you. The beginning and the ending, we thank you. Thank you for the power of resurrection. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Lord, as we look into your word, in this hour, we pray that your power of resurrection will manifest in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Every grave that is threatening our destiny, by the power of his resurrection, we are liberated today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. As we celebrate his resurrection today, none of us will remain in any kind of grave in the mighty name of Jesus. Speak to us today in the mighty name of Jesus. In a crystal clear way, speak to us today in the mighty name of Jesus. Sweetest Holy Spirit, we call you again. Be in charge in the mighty name of Jesus. We willingly surrender to you. Your name alone will be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Better for Jesus. Hallelujah! And we can take our seat. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to be taking time to praise the Lord once again, and that's why we try as much as possible to compress the sermon today so that we can get at least minimum 5-7 minutes to dance unto the Lord and to praise his holy name. Hallelujah to Jesus. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28, starting from verse 1. Hallelujah to Jesus. We have our Bibles there. If you don't have it, we have it on the screen. You can look at the screen. Or if it's on your phone. Or whichever means, or whichever way. Just make sure that your Bible is with you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible said, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week. Which day is the first day of the week? Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. Because some people will say Monday. Monday is not the first day of the week. Sunday. So the Bible said that towards the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene and other Mary to the sepulchre. He said, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. I see that earthquake coming into your life to remove you from any form of grave in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The earthquake of heaven that will destroy every chain of the evil one in your life, in your lineage, will be sent today in the mighty name of Jesus. Said, and he came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. You remember in verse 27, we read that after he was buried, his enemy said, he said, this deceiver said he will rise again on the third day. So they went to the authority and said, please, what can we do? We have to secure this place. And the man said, you have the security force with you. Just command them to go and secure the place. Because they said that they don't want to make because they said the error that will happen when, if he's able to manipulate them, or if his followers are able to manipulate people to believe that he actually rose, came from the dead, it will be worse than just killing him. So they look at him and they saw him as a deceiver. But no matter what your enemy feels, no matter his feelings, no matter the angle from which he's looking at it, no matter what is going around, the truth, which is the word of God, will always prevail. And he said, in verse 2, he said, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and he came, he rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat upon it. I decree that the dimension of testimonies that will be witnessing from the manifestation of the power of resurrection will be a permanent one in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Because whatever the Lord doeth shall be forever." Hello? If God says yes, nobody can say no. If God says no, nobody has the capacity to say yes. The Bible says they shall gather, but not by me, saith the Lord of hosts. No matter what they feel, no matter their connection, no matter their status, no matter their race, no matter their sex, whether it's female or male, doesn't matter. Whether it's in the palace or in the ghetto, doesn't matter. When God says yes, nobody can say no. And God said concerning him that he will die, he will be raised on the third day. No matter the policy of the government, he couldn't stop it. No matter the policy of the government of the nation where you are dwelling, your rising will be evident this year in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Your testimony of divine enlightenment will be evident for all to see in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, he rolled back the stone from the door and he sat upon it. Verse 3 said, and his countenance or his appearance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. Verse 4 said, and for the fear of him, the keepers, they did shake, or they were afraid, they were scared. You remember in Zechariah chapter 1, the Bible talked about the four horns. They were scattering Judah. The Bible said that those horns, they were not allowing anyone to lift up their heads. They were walking, they were struggling, they were going to school, they were going for programs, they were praying, they were doing things just for their head to come up, just for them to make it in life. But no one was able to make it. But the Bible said, he sent the carpenter. What was the job of the carpenter? He said to fray or to quake or to challenge those horns that were scattering Judah. If you see a company, if you see a nation, if you see a family, if you see an entity where things are not working, there are horns of the Gentile that are scattering it. Hello? And their work is to make sure that nobody lifts up his head. Their work is to make sure that nothing is working. He looks for different means to suppress them. Try to, to push sickness. Some people, he will push discouragement. Some people, if imagine people that are working in very good company and any good salary, they are still battling with depression. He tries to throw all manner of things just to make sure that people say they're not lifted up. But as for you, because grave could not stop him, and you are in Christ Jesus, no grave will be able to stop your rising in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. He said his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. He said, and for fear of him, keepers did shake, and they became as dead men. No wonder Jesus said that. He said, in the presence of your enemy. The word of God said, in the book of Psalms, said, what? In the presence of your enemy. In Psalm 23. Right in the presence of your enemy, you'll be rising in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It means that your enemies will be incapacitated. They will look at you and say, okay, we tried to stop him. But it's unstoppable in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. They tried to stop Joseph. They couldn't stop him. They pushed him to the pit. They pushed him to the prison. But he ended up in the palace. As the Lord liveth, you will end up in the palace in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. They tried to stop Jesus. They used all manner of policies, governmental policies to stop him.
They used the religious setting to stop him. The Pharisees didn't like him. The Sadducees didn't like him. The chief priests didn't like him. Hello? But despite all the hatred, despite all the manipulation from the pit of hell, they were still unable to stop him. And because we are in Christ Jesus, no devil will be able to stop him in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So he said, and the angels answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for his reason, as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Verse 7 said, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he went before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and he ran to bring his disciples word. Verse 9, he said, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And they went and they met him there. What we're trying to say is that as long as you are in Christ Jesus, there is no devil that has the capacity to stop you, sir. You have been loaded with that dynamite. Did you know? The Bible call it dunamis, or the miracle working power. Paul was right. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection is talking about the dunamis. That word came from the word dynamite. If you are an engineer, if you are familiar with construction, you know that if they want to construct a road and there's a rock there, in this dispensation where we are living right now, the company will not go to a place and say, okay, let's start whipping. No. They know what to do. They will drill the rock, load in the explosive, and blast it up. And what God is saying is that no matter the level of stone that has been rolled over your destiny, no matter the level of road that has been, stone that has been rolled over your career, no matter how big that stone is, the power of God, the dynamics of God, will blast it off in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They are unable to stop him. Brethren, there is no devil that has the capacity to stop you until you allow it. The devil came into the garden. He didn't come to say, okay, Adam, lift up your hands, and Eve, lift up your hands. If you don't open the gate, I will blast off your head. He didn't have the capacity to do that. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I remember that we started the moment by saying that, looking at the prophetic focus that says that we rule and reign by the wisdom of God. And we said that the wisdom of God is only available in God. What then is that wisdom? The wisdom of God is the word of God. And the Bible said that in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word became what? In verse 12 said, the word became flesh, and that word lived amongst us. Who is that word? That word is Jesus. Who is that word? That word is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is all powerful. There is no devil that has the opportunity and has the power to stop the wisdom of God. That's what we are talking about. Death could not handle him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Remember last week we looked at Job 28 where he said that even death here is fame and fame. See, there is no devil that has the power to do this. Look at all manner of manipulations. Look at all manner of policies that have been put into place in many nations to stop the spread of the kingdom of God. Have they been able to stop it? No, they can't. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, they shall gather, but not by me. He said the Lord will look at them in derision. He look at them and laugh. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
hallelujah.
Amen.
So what I'm trying to say is that understanding that when we are talking about this all-powerful wisdom of God, it is the word of God. The word of God is the wisdom of God, and the word of God became flesh and he lived among us for a while. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Let's go to Job. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Job 28. Job is just the book next to Psalms. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Job 28. Let's start from verse 12. It said, but where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? He said, man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. Verse 14, it said, the depth said, it is not in me, and the sea said, it is not with me. Yeah, 15 now, Job 28, 15, I said, it cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of fish shall not be for jewels or fine gold. He said, no mention shall be made of coral or of pearl, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Said, whence cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding, seeing it is hid from the eyes of the living and kept close from the fowls of the air? Said, destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. Verse 28, 22 said, destruction and death say, he said, you see, the destruction and death says to the wisdom of God, that we have heard the fame, your fame. Look at the life of Daniel. The king told him, said, if you cannot tell me this dream and interpret it, I will kill of you. And he said, why do you want to kill us? Why are you so much in a hurry? Because you're not a wicked man. How can you somehow somebody to tell you the dream and give you interpretation? I mean, to interpret a dream alone is something special, isn't it? But somebody now wakes you up and says, okay, I slept. Even if your wife that is sleeping next to you, if you have a dream, you can't know it, except you tell him. No, he doesn't have the capacity to do that. And you're not asking someone to tell you the dream and tell you the interpretation. You must be a wicked man. And he said, if you don't tell us, I will kill you. Death was turning them in the faith. What did Daniel do? He started crying. Oh God, oh God, why did you leave me alone like this? You're a wicked God. No, he connected with heaven because he knew that there is a God whose wisdom is so powerful that death cannot handle it. And through that, the wisdom of God pushed him to connect with God. He downloaded the dream, he downloaded the interpretation, and he was rescued. Death could not handle Jesus, who is the wisdom of God. They killed him. You know, up to now, many religions, they are still battling with that. They couldn't grasp it. Hello? They couldn't grasp it. How can you kill a man and still come alive? They are still, you see, especially if you go to the Muslim setting, they will tell you a manner of stories. They will say, no, oh, it wasn't him that was crucified. Or some say it was someone that was crucified, but God replaced him. Some say they are coming with all manner of the of human explanation for it, because they've never seen that kind of thing before. Hallelujah. Yeah. They have never seen that kind of thing before. But the wisdom of God is superior. No, there is no situation that the wisdom of God cannot bail you out of. If you connect with heaven. He said, destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. What are we talking about? If you want to live a life that will triumph over every circumstance of life, go for divine wisdom. Thank you, Jesus. And I want us to understand that wisdom is not ordinary. It's not natural. It doesn't make sense to a natural man. Let's look at it from this angle. Israel, they were expecting Messiah. Oh, they said, okay, Messiah is coming. And what would be the work of the Messiah? The Messiah was supposed to come to bail them from their bondage. They were expecting that, okay, he will come as a soldier, as a big man, to lead revolution and cage the Romans. Because they were being oppressed every day. They were killing them. They were beating them. And suddenly, one baby was born in Bethlehem, in a manger. And he said, this is the king. Okay. Well, maybe not. Their hopes started rising. That at the end,
The liberation of Israel has come. Oh, hallelujah. We appreciate it. Then suddenly, Jesus was speaking with his people. He said, who do you think I am? They started talking. One said, you are Elijah. Oh, you are John the Baptist. They started coming with all manner, you know, they were using their head to reason God. The wisdom of God is so mighty, the wisdom of God is so powerful that your mind cannot reason it out. Hallelujah. So they were looking at them and saying, okay, what? Who is this? Then he told them, said, but you, don't forget about what others are saying about me. But you that have been following me for almost 2.5 years, what do you think I am? And Peter said, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, you are Christ. You are the Messiah. Say, ah. He said, flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father in heaven. Do you know that same Peter that said it, less than a few hours after, when Jesus started telling them that he was going to die, he said, it mustn't happen. No, you can't die. Because they couldn't understand, they couldn't comprehend the kind of Messiah or a Savior that will die to save people. How do you die? If you have power over death, why don't you go and crush that death anyhow? Why do we have to die to crush death? The wisdom of God. They couldn't grasp it. They couldn't understand it. Paul was speaking. He said, I understand that the Israel or the Jews, they have the kind of of zeal. But not according to the knowledge. Knowledge of what? Of the wisdom of God. Because they couldn't comprehend it. How do we want to think about a Savior that will die? How do we want to think about the Savior that they are arresting him and he was looking at them? Thank you, Jesus. You remember one of the thieves even said it when they crucified them. He said, if you're the son of God, why don't you save yourself? Hallelujah. But you know, the same people said that if they had known, they would not have crucified the King of Glory. Because the wisdom of God is far surpasses the wisdom of men. It doesn't make sense. Hallelujah. The wisdom of God is powerful. The wisdom of God is all powerful. But a lot of times, it doesn't make natural sense. How do you tell a man that his head is going down? And you say, no. Don't lose hope. There is a way. Start taking communion. Go and mix black currant together with water and serve bread. And say, this is nuts. But the wisdom of God. You are praying for somebody is in America. You are praying for somebody is in Nigeria. You are praying for somebody is in Togo. But as you are speaking here in Sweden, the power of God is hitting him there. The wisdom of God. Thank you, Jesus Christ. What are we trying to talk about? I want us to understand that the wisdom of God is the word of God, and the word of God is Jesus, and there is no death that could handle him. If death couldn't handle him, there is no any other obstacle that can handle him. Lazarus was dead. He was thinking. You bury somebody in that kind of atmosphere, in that kind of climate for 4 days. Even in temperate countries, someone that is there for 4 days, there is no hope. But when the word of God showed up there, what happened? Death was reversed. I see any kind of death in your life being reversed today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No matter how hopeless that situation is, I see God reversing it for your favor in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In Ezekiel 37, the Bible talks about the valley of dry bone. There was no hope there. A very hopeless situation. And God spoke. He said, can this dry bone live? He said, God, thou knowest. He said, okay, I know. But he said, prophesy. Prophesy into this valley. What does it mean to prophesy? It means to declare the word of God. It means to declare the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God came into sin. Bible said that life came back. Life came back to the dry bone. The Bible said that the bones were fused together to the right places. Skin came over them. And out of a valley of dry bone emerged a great army. No matter how dead that situation is, the testimony of your life will surprise all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
The Bible says in Proverbs 2 and in verse 6, he said, "For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth." Thank you, Lord. "The Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." He said, "He laid up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is buckler to them that walk uprightly." Thank you, Jesus. If you jump to 1 Corinthians 1 and 24, thank you, Lord. The Bible said, "But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Jesus is the wisdom of God. Jesus is the word of God. Jesus is the power of God. And when the word of God is in place, no matter how dead the situation is, no matter how hopeless the situation is, once the word of God comes to sin, everything must change. So, brethren, all you need to go after the word of God. What does the word of God say concerning this situation? Thank you, Lord Jesus. What does the word of God say concerning this situation? If they tell you that, okay, this thing can't work again, but what does the word of God say concerning it? What the word of God say has the ability to last, has the ability to triumph over any and every situation. Thank you, Jesus. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 49, he said, "Therefore also said the wisdom of God." So the wisdom of God is a speaking wisdom. "Therefore also said the wisdom of God." The wisdom of God is powerful. It's a speaking wisdom. When he speaks in a situation, everything must change. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So as we attempt to round up, let's look at different encounters. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, 2 to 3, talking about the situation of Abraham. Abraham was transferred from being a hopeless, childless wanderer to a transgenerational blessing. When he had encounter with the wisdom of God, the word of God came to Abraham. You know, he was completely hopeless. Look, as a man at 75, no child. He was still living with his daddy. Under any economy, under any situation, you cannot talk about that one as a success. He was a concern to his daddy. But when the wisdom of God came, everything was written for his favor. Up to now, everybody is struggling to belong to Abraham. So, no matter how hopeless the situation is, what we are talking about is that lay hold on the wisdom of God and it will change. The Bible said that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to a people. Righteousness means doing things the way of God, or walking according to the wisdom of God, or living by the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. The word of God says in Deuteronomy 28, he said, "If you will diligently hearken to this word," or "if you do the word," if you live according to the wisdom of God, he said, "you will be above and never under." He said, "you will be above all nations." So no matter what they are telling you, no matter what is happening around you, all you need to do is to lay hold on divine wisdom and live according to it. As long as you are doing it, you cannot go down. It's not possible, sir. Thank you, Jesus. Look at the environment we are living in right now. It's very, very unpopular to be a Christian. Am I lying? You tell them you are a Christian, they look at you even with disdain. Say, okay, Christian, sorry for you. Like that's a musician, and they say, "I'm sorry, you know, they're sorry for you. Hello? But whether they like it or not, the same stone that the builder has rejected shall become the chief cornerstone, the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Because things that will be happening in your life, things that will be happening in your family, things that will be happening in the life of your children, we make them to wonder at you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Moses attempted rescuing his people through his own skill and his own wisdom, but he failed. He could only end up as a fugitive when he attempted it. But when the wisdom of God came, that same Moses that was running away, God said, "Go back to that same man." Just like Isaac. The same people that he was running away from, when the wisdom of God came, because he obeyed the word of God, they became the people that were so scared of him that they came, okay, let's make a league with you. Let's make a covenant with you so that we can work. Because we can see that you are so mighty. You are far, far more bigger than us. I see God making you to enjoy the same order of testimony in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. People who are looking at you right now, who are saying, where will it end? We are waiting to mock you. They will come and beg to eat at your table in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Those people who are waiting for you to be mocked, those people that are waiting for you to go to the grave, they will be sent to their early grave in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But embrace the wisdom of God. No matter what it costs. No matter what it costs. They tried to set themselves free for 430 years, laboring and trying. All manner of manipulation. Let's negotiate. Let's talk with Pharaoh. Let's send people to him. Let them speak the language to him. Okay, don't worry. We will serve you after some years. They will allow us to live. It never worked until the wisdom of God came. And when wisdom of God came, they did not just live, get ordinary freedom. They were still looted with enough substance. There was no record that said that while they were in the wilderness, they had to beg for bread. All their needs were supplied. I see you walking into that realm of testimony in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Look at Hannah. Hannah's situation was so hopeless. Completely hopeless. She was mocked. She became a subject of mockery at home and abroad. At a point, she was even praying. She was so more consumed with the passion for that need that she didn't know that the chief priest was passing. You know, the priests at that time, they were not like now when you just go around with suit and tie. They had to tie bells around them. So when they are walking, you will hear. You will hear the sound. She was so much consumed with the passion for what she needed that she didn't hear that the priest was passing. And the one said, are you drunk? What are you doing at this hour of the day? I said, no, I'm not drunk. I'm pouring out my heart. You have been pouring out your heart unto God. This day of resurrection, your answer comes speedily in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That issue that has been making you to weep secretly, you are even finding it difficult to share it or even to ask people to pray about it because you have asked them to pray and pray and nothing is happening. But as the Lord liveth, the same God that rewrote the destiny of Hannah is visiting you today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That blindness was terminated. We mentioned the one, another example of Lazarus earlier. Death was disgraced by the wisdom of God. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
What are we talking about? On this day of resurrection, it is not just a day to celebrate and to drink and to go around and just eat and eat. No, it's a time to sit down and say, what is the significance of this season? The significance of the season is to embrace the resurrected Christ. To embrace him and everything he told you to do. Embrace him and embracing the wisdom of God that is able to suppress any kind of situation. They were battling with sin. But when he resurrected, he empowered them. There is nobody, no matter your title, no matter the theological seminary you attended, even if you are born by a pastor in a church, you don't have the capacity to live a righteous life without being empowered by God. You will be faking it. Hello? You know, Bible made it very clear that the law was not given so that they could obey it. It was given to them so that they will see their weaknesses and ask for help. Bible said concerning Jesus that he was empowered to live a holy life by the spirit of holiness. So the resurrection power of Jesus Christ delivered unto mankind the ability to live a holy life. Let's go to that scripture. Ezekiel. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to Ezekiel 36, starting from, let's start from 24. Hallelujah. I mean, it's better to start from 21 to get the context. He said, Ezekiel 36, 21, he said, but I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel has profaned among the heathen, whither they went. See, they were sent packing from their promised land because of sin. They couldn't obey the word of God. You remember we said wisdom is obedience to the word of God. And because they disobeyed, they lost their throne. Man, Adam and Eve, they lost their place. They lost the garden because of disobedience. Isn't it? So, and every time man disobey, he will lose out. And that's why the devil cannot get at you until he lures you to disobey. Remember Israel? When somebody was hired to curse them, remember the story of Balaam and Balak? You remember? Balaam said, okay, I can't curse these people because they are already blessed, because iniquity was not found in them. So he tried to curse them. He was blessing them instead. Do you know how they was able to penetrate? He said, no. Because it was said that you think they are uncursable because iniquity was not found in them. He said, I know how to handle them. He said, release your beautiful girls into the camp. And once they started disobeying God, they opened up for the serpent, and serpent started biting them. No wonder the Bible said that, you know, he said rebellion is worse than what? Or said what? Than witchcraft. Any attempt to disobey God will end depression or the nation in slavery. No one, the Bible said that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to a people. You can never see a nation that is not embracing righteousness that will ever rise up. Go and see nations where they are selling drugs and celebrating stolen wealth. Do they have anything to show for it? No. No, it's not possible. It is absolutely not possible. So, and God knew that. He knew that in order for us not to open the door to the tormentor, to the devil, we need to embrace holiness or to obey his word. And he said there in verse 22, he said, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus said the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. He said, I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, said the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, I will separate you from ungodly people, and I will gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land. And how will I secure you? So that you won't go back to slavery. Verse 25 says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. He said, a new heart. Say, a new heart. He said, a new heart will I also give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. So God said he will empower you to obey his word. Everywhere you see that the word of God is being obeyed, you will see greatness. I was talking about Ogun State the other day in Nigeria. We talk about the oldest Bible found in that place. Go and look at it. How many states produced two presidents in Nigeria? Go and check every history, every major breakthrough in the history of Nigeria. One way or the other, it is linked to Ogun State, sir. Righteousness exalt a nation. Look at the history of Sweden. Look at America. Look at Europe. The time all this breakthrough that you are seeing was a product of the application of the word of God. Because when righteousness was being embraced, the reign of the Spirit came upon them. It breathed upon their reasoning faculty, upon their mind, and all these inventions came. That's why you will never see a place where God is not being celebrated that is going up. It's not possible. It's not possible. Even if they steal it, if they copy it, it won't stay. Hello? So, as we are celebrating the power of his resurrection, let us remember also, we are being liberated from sin and all its consequences and being empowered to live a holy life. Because the devil cannot get to you until you open the door for him. And how do you know open the door for him? You have to go against the word of God. It's not just about sinning, go and sleeping with somebody's ex-wife.
very small, small things like like speaking negative. Hello, you wake up and say, "Ah, this weather is bad. This is a bad day." It is sinful, sir. You may think of it, but it's just ordinary. No, you have spoken against the word of God because he said, "This is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it." You say, "Ah, this the way my body is feeling. This headache has come back. I don't think I will make it today." You are just cursing yourself. You are speaking guile. You go help us the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So lastly, what is in the word of God? The word of God, remember, is the wisdom of God. And that word is creative. Say creative.
Creative.
The word of God is creative. It's able to create anything that you desire. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 31. We're not going to read that one. But remember, the word of God is the wisdom of God. The word of God is all you need to have all your needs met. The word of God is the wisdom of God that makes you to triumph over every situation. That same word triumph over them. They couldn't stop him. All manner of policy put into place in nations couldn't stop him. Because that word is creative. And as you are embracing the word of God, you become naturally creative. You know when you are creative, a creative man cannot be locked in any situation because he will reason his way out. That's the meaning. Hello? You know, you are working in a place, a manager comes and or your boss doesn't like you. Somebody will say, "Hey, I'm in trouble. Everything has ended." But the wisdom of God will come and create a solution for you. If they try to lock Daniel, the word of God created the solution. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were locked in that situation. They would have died. But the word of God showed up in the night. You know, remember the king said, how many people did we put in the fire? 3. But I can see the fourth person there. He said the countenance of that person or the appearance or the look of that fourth person is like the Son of God. The word of God showed up. If the word of God could handle fire, remember that fire was so hot to the extent that the people that threw them there, they were consumed by that fire. Now look at the guys that were thrown into that same furnace. An air condition was created for them. The Bible said that not even the ears of their head got burnt. The wisdom of God. The earth is burning now. Economic challenge here and there. Nation, don't mind all those lies they are doing. They are just managing. That's the truth. They are managing. They are borrowing to survive. Hello? But as for you, you will not leave debt for your children in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No matter what, you will always have excess in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The word of God is curative. It can kill. Proverbs 4:20 to 22. It can heal. That's the meaning. So speak the word of God to that situation. Don't speak the word of the enemy, because your word either activates demons or activates angels. When you speak anything that's not in line with the word of God, you say, I remember the great-grandfather died of that sickness. I remember one of my uncle died. I'm feeling the same symptom. It seems as if that thing is coming. No. No. Say, no, I refuse. Because I am redeemed. Hallelujah. The wisdom of God is able to bail you out at any time. The word of God is illuminative. It shows you the way and ignites you. You become a spiritual illuminant that if you walk into the camp of the devil, they begin to shake. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Let's stand up. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
What are you talking about? You see, it's a battle. It's a battle. Have you ever noticed? If you have an appointment to go to a party, you don't forget. Do you? You don't forget. But try to set a standard. Okay, the next 2 weeks I'm going to be listening to the word of God. I want to study the book of Proverbs and finish everything. Something will happen. The devil will try to come because he knows that if you are able to lay hold on the rod at any time, you will beat the head of the serpent. You know, God spoke to Moses, he said, "With this rod, you will do signs and wonders."
The word of God, the rod of God. He know that if you are able to handle the rod, you will be in command. That's what's called the staff of office. So he will try to derod you, if that English exists, to deceive you by throwing down the rod. And you begin to fight with bare hands. And he'll be slapping you. That will not be a portion of the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So what I'm talking about is that go for the word, sir. I'm telling you, there is no situation, whether in the contemporary time or in the time of old, that the word of God cannot handle. If the word of God can handle death, if the word of God can handle sickness, if the word of God can handle intimidation, what can he not handle? Both animate and inanimate objects can bear the word of God. The Bible says, oh head, hear the word of God. If cars can hear the word of God, there was this testimony of Copeland when he said, by the time they bought their jet, he said they wanted to go to travel and the door refused to open. What is happening? It's a brand new jet. And they consulted the technician. They said, okay, let's drill hole into the door. And he said, you're going to spoil this thing. He said, no. His spirit was grieved. No, there must be a way out. He connected with heaven and heaven showed him the key, the way to open the door. Hello? I mean, there is no circumstance that the word of God cannot solve. You remember Bishop Oedipo there, he said when they were constructing Faith Tabernacle, there was a time they needed to bring in a crane to hang the one of the trusts. And by the time they brought it in, they discovered that the place was too small for the crane to go in. And the engineer started brainstorming. What should we do? Should we break the column that we have casted? Should we dig the floor? He said, no, but if we dig it, it will weaken this thing. Because, of course, he had an understanding of engineering and architecture. He said, no. He said he connected with heaven. I never showed him the solution. It was a very simple one. Say, what is the height of this equipment? He said, measure it. What is the height that we want to go in? They measure. Say, okay, this is simple. Just deflate the tire. Nobody saw it. The Holy Spirit showed them. See, it looked very simple. What I'm trying to say is that the solution to your challenge of your life is so close to you. That's why the devil tried to what? Make you to fear so that you won't see it. Hello? Did he take Moses to go and get the rod from somewhere? No, it was the rod that was on his hands. The rod that we announce you is already in your hands, sir. Hello? So connect in this month. I say, Lord, the power of resurrection. Abba, show me. Show me the way. My body cannot be behaving like this. I wasn't born to be a weakling. I can't imagine Abraham at 100 traveling. Abba, Isaac traveling Jacob traveling on horses back from Israel to Egypt at that age. I can't be a weakling, sir. It's not possible. Refuse to accept the verdict of the devil. The word of God is creative. The word of God is illuminating. The word of God is reproductive. That word of God is prophetic. It's all powerful. That's all we need, sir. Hello? And as for you, you'll be announced to your word in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That habit that the devil is trying to use to sink the boat of your life, you'll be empowered to rule over it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The solution to the next level will be delivered to you even this week in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What are we trying to talk about? Let's place value. Let's not just celebrate religion. Religion nonsense. As okay, Easter period. Okay, I go around and I put a cross with a palm. What is it? That made from? It's just religion, man. What is the implication of the resurrection? Jesus resurrected. They could not hold him captive. What is this thing that is battling with my career? I can't be battling with this. Lord, what is the way? Show me. Let's begin to give him thanks. Let's give him glory. Let's give him honor. Let's give him adoration. Thank him for the power of his resurrection. Thank him for the power of his resurrection. Thank him for the power of his resurrection. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That power is able to blast off any entrance. Is able to blast off any manipulation of the devil from your way. Is able to enthrone you. That power, that wisdom is able to establish you in your promised land. No matter who is dealing with you, no matter the nature, no matter even how long it might have been,
The power of God is able to liberate you. So give him thanks. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him adoration. Exalt him. Exalt him. Exalt him. Exalt him. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed.
Thank you for listening to this message. However, I want to remind you that God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son for the entire world, including you, to be saved from sin and all its consequences. It therefore does not make any sense to spend the next minute of your life without accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. God bless you as you believe and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now. Hallelujah.